Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Caroline Levitt, spokesperson for Donald Trump, in front of the D.C. press gaggle, thrashing them for blacking out, canceling the murder of Irina Zaruska, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Today, I would like to address the tragedy that has not received nearly enough media attention, the brutal murder of Irina Zaruska. Here are the facts that many outlets have shamefully and intentionally failed to report until President Trump drew attention to it. Irina was on the train that night traveling home from her job at a pizzeria, still in uniform from her shift. This beautiful, innocent 23-year-old young woman was a Ukrainian refugee who had recently fled her country for a chance at a safer life in the United States of America. But tragically, a public transportation system in a major American city was more dangerous than the active war zone that she left. And perhaps most shamefully of all, the majority of the media, many outlets in this room, decided that her murder was not worth reporting on originally because it does not fit a preferred narrative. Many of the journalists in this room spilled plenty of ink trying to smear Daniel Penny for defending a subway car from a deranged lunatic in New York City, but none of those same reporters lift a finger to write stories about an actual murderer.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, she's nailed that. Yeah. And that is a great comparison there about the Daniel Penny issue, because that was solely driven by the with racial overtones by the left wing media.
And a guy by the name of David Strom Lee wrote a great piece in Hot Air today. The Daniel Penny effect is destroying blue cities. Here's what he writes. In times of crisis, it's common to see Florida's law enforcement officers reminding potential criminals that Floridians are armed and authorized to protect themselves, each other, and their property. In fact, I'd go a step further. They encourage them to. And they tell the criminals, look, I'm just going to come pick your body up. We don't care. We're good if they shoot you. Don't break into homes here.
Yeah.
Don't hurt people here.
On their property.
On their property. And he writes, in blue cities, on the other hand, people who protect themselves or others can be certain that they will be prosecuted should they decide to help others. Criminals with long rap sheets get released back into the public with regularity. But if a man stands up to a thug to protect his fellow citizens, as Daniel Penny did, he can wind up with a long legal battle that could result in a long-term prison sentence or bankruptcy or both. We see the results all too often. And the horrific murder in Charlotte's the latest example. And this was the most horrific part to me. A new video has been released that shows the aftermath of the vicious attack on Irina Zaruska on Charlotte's light rail line. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the unedited video.
No,
I've
heard about it. I've not watched this. I just this.
You know what? Every Democrat voter yesterday that voted for Vi Lyles
ought to have to watch it. Yeah,
I should be forced to watch it. They should be forced to watch this. Not one person, he writes, helped her. She began bleeding out before eventually dying. And you can see these people are pretty close. They're in the seats around her. That was the most horrifying part to me as a mom of a daughter not too much younger than her. She's 17, my daughter. I just wanted to hold her while she died. She had this look of horror on her face. She was stabbed so hard. And fear and horror and shock. And then she begins to bleed out. She falls over. And that's got to be the worst feeling in the world, that you're there with people and no one holds you, no one helps you. You die alone. You die alone. What is so striking, he writes, so dispiriting, is that nobody did a thing to help Irina even after the attack. In this case, it's perfectly understandable that nobody could intervene to prevent it. The attack was so sudden and unexpected. It would have taken a miracle for anyone to save her from the initial attack. But after the attack, when he's walking around dripping her blood casually all over the place, why did no one rush to help Irina? Why did no one stop the madman? People are being trained to be afraid of intervening by Democrats. They are told the government alone is responsible for the well-being of others and even discouraged from helping themselves. I would add, Lee, we're also being, or at least they want to, Democrats want to disarm us so we cannot hurt criminals.
Right, right. So that you have no defense.
Yeah.
So that the criminals have the advantage. And it's like, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, Roy Cooper, who's running for Senate, was making the comment about, well, we need more police. How would that have had any impact on this situation?
None. It's a dodge.
I mean, exactly. That's exactly what it is. He is dodging the issue there. You know, what would have done, what would have saved this young woman's life if the judicial system in North Carolina had done its job and protected citizens from this individual.
Will Chamberlain with the Article 3 Project tweeted this, and is so right, talking about Roy Cooper, who wants to be the senator from North Carolina. He's the former governor. And Josh Stein are implicitly blaming Irina Zarudska's death on the lack of police funding when police arrested the perp 14 times. Nobody can find an incident where police didn't do their job
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
They will not take responsibility for the misguided reforms that let psychotic murderers run wild. Their careers need to end. So when you look at this, Roy Cooper was the attorney general. He's a Democrat of the state before he was governor. Now he wants to be the senator. This is her blood's literally on his hands. Same thing with Josh Stein, who followed that same track into office. Josh Stein was the attorney general, a Democrat. Now he's the governor. But the key thing here is, and the heartless, brutal thing, is that this is a dodge to get out of changing the justice system in any way.
Yeah.
They will give you police officers to hold your mom's hand when she arrives and wipe up the blood, but they will not do anything to stop the guy, the perp, from going out the door. And Pam Bondi's not wrong. She said, we've got to go in and arrest him. We've got to go in, federally charge him just to keep him out of the hands of progressive prosecutors. He'll go right out the door again. So look, we're getting a front row seat to how Democrats would have us live. Mm-hmm. And the best example of this that I can find from right here in South Carolina, if you have any doubts, well, this is an isolated case and your liberal friends will tell you it's no big deal. Yes, it is. The homicide rate in Charlotte has doubled since 2019. It is a big deal. But was that billboard that went up, I'll never forget it, in 2020, Lee, during the Democrat primary here. And it was people, it was Democrats, it was their pictures in the primary, including Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, who had vowed to release off the top 50% of federal prisoners. Just off the top. No assessment of, you know, how dangerous they were, what they might have done, just let them go.
It was a quota.
Yeah, it was a quota. And they pledged to do that. So when you understand, they're not only cool with all of this, they would release people like this guy from our federal prison. Because I covered federal court. You got to understand, it's not like state court.
Right.
It's not a guy with a dime bag of marijuana who got busted on a corner somewhere. These are the worst of the worst of the worst. And that's why they're in federal prison. And they didn't care. This was who they were going to let out. And I had the audio here, but now I can't find it. And I wish I could play it for you. I'll see if I can find it. Joe Biden gets confronted by a liberal loon at an event. And he's asked, hey, you know, you're going to release 50% of the prisoners. And he says, yeah, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do better than that. We never did, thank God. But this is where they'll go.
Yeah, Auto Pen never got around to it.
No, he tried, didn't he? One at a time. Or whoever ran the Auto Pen did.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he tried to do it. And the guy says, great, great. Oh, this is great. You're going to let him out. And there's no thought of any kind of, you know, like, where will they go? What will they do? Who will they hurt? They don't care. They just see it as a source of votes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe enough votes to put him over in a state. And that's it. And they know their families and friends will vote Democrat too. It's just what they do. So, but the good news is that Americans are getting a front row seat to this, Lee.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole border thing, for instance, should be old by now, but it's not, because every single day we get another lesson in what Joe Biden let in here. And so it doesn't go away. I'll tell you what I mean coming up next.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see this, folks? You didn't. If you're one of my liberal trolls, you have no idea. It would never be covered. And by the way, it's kind of been lost by our side. Bombshell report by the UK Daily Mail. This just gets worse and worse, this story. Because murderers, rapists, not the only people the left is protecting. Headline. Migrant children lost under the Biden administration found dead or working as sex slaves. Yeah, this kind of thing is not spoken of in America. Not much, anyway. Not by mainstream media. After an estimated, it's actually 470,000 kids, but they're using a lowball number. After an estimated 233,000 children who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border alone during President Joe Biden's tenure were lost. They were actually misplaced with sex offenders, but whatever. Law enforcement started to locate them, only to learn of the horrors they have faced. Since March, the Trump administration has tracked down, God bless them, 22,638 kids, finding some in deplorable conditions, dead, and others used as sex slaves. This is fantastic. The Democrat Party bought a slavery the first time, and they brought it back. UK Daily Mail continues. We found children who've been raped, said John Fabricatori, HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement senior advisor told the network. Who's John Fabricatori? Why does the UK Daily Mail get these great stories by talking to him? He's a former Department of Homeland Security guy. He was all over the Aurora, Colorado takeover of those apartment complexes where, you know, Tren de Aragua was shipped in here from Venezuela, allegedly by the Joe Biden's FBI, according to Maduro. Who knows if it's true? And they, remember, told the owner of the apartment he'd better keep paying his property taxes, but they were going to be taking his apartments and kicking the tenants out. And they began selling children, mainly girls, out of there. They did the same thing in El Paso, in Texas. If you look up UK Daily Mail El Paso hotel raid, it took dozens of local law enforcement to do the raid, not individual officers, I mean agencies, dozens of agencies coming together from surrounding counties to go up against Tren de Aragua and take that hotel back. Well, when they did, the folks in the hotel were streamed out on the parking lot, ended up sitting on a curb. You know, the people they were selling for sex? I don't know if people's the right term. Kids. They were selling kids. Mostly girls, some boys, and kidnap women. This is what the Democrats have done. John Fabricatori was the one who took the UK Daily Mail through the apartment complex the first time to show them, look, I mean, look at the age of these girls. These are not women. We found children who have been raped, John Fabricatori said. He's now with the Health and Human, Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement. We're talking about debt bondage, where children are being made to work off debt, trafficking debt. We're talking about children that were brought into situations and then treated like sexual slaves. At least 27 of the lost children have been confirmed dead. Can you imagine if that happened under Trump's watch? It's Biden, so it's good. With causes of death ranging from murder to drug overdose. Yeah, you know what the drug overdoses are? But they drug them so they can use them in a sex trade. This is your country. Children are in horrific environments, just environments they should not be in, where the sponsor is a heroin dealer. And a child winds up dying of a heroin overdose. These children were classified by the government as unaccompanied minors, underage migrants across U.S. border without a parent or legal guardian. A lot of them were kidnapped, folks. Remember me reading you the Guardian article from Guatemala? How they have to dig holes and create false rooms in their houses, especially if they have a pretty daughter to hide her, because the men with the big guns will come through, kidnap her, take her up to the U.S. to sell. That's the Democrats right there. It's what they do. I think what happened here was that the Democrats knew that these are the same gangs and criminal organizations that bring them their voters, the 12 million. And they see the 500,000 kids as voters too eventually. I mean, they'll be so damaged they're going to need services for the rest of their lives. So they're perfect Democrat voters. They don't care what happens to them otherwise. Well, these gangs, they want them to move in. They need them to move in. They protect them when they move in. Think Kilmore. Garcia, right? Abrigo Garcia. They need them to move in. And so they say, you know what? You bring us our voters. That's what we're most interested in. We're going to replace Americans, have a one-party system. You'll rule with us. You'll be our street thugs. You'll be our enforcement arm. And we'll kind of look the other way as you, you know, make money. Bring kids in. Bring drugs in. That's how it all ties together. If you have not listened to my Battleground America podcast today, you need to. In the sources section, and I break it down, it was that mind-numbing 2011 article where they report that the FBI is arming and funding the Sinaloa cartel that brought in a lot of this. Arming and funding the Sinaloa. And I think it spun out of control. This was under Obama, of course. And I think it was a lie. I think, and the FBI admitted to it, but they said, well, we had to arm and fund them and protect their drug routes, which are also their human smuggling routes. We had to protect those into the country because in return, they would rat out fellow cartel members, like, you know, in other cartels. Well, if you just have one big super cartel that you arm and fund instead of 15 smaller cartels, does it really matter? See, I don't think that's what was happening. I think the FBI helped the Democrats build these smuggling routes and protect them. I think that the cartel was fine by itself. It was going to do just fine, but that the FBI put it on steroids because they needed to move a lot of people. And they did over more than 10 years. And then you have the other hint of that again, which is Maduro saying, hey, listen, I didn't want to send Trende Aragua to America. Biden made me. And he said, if you want to know how the FBI smuggled him in, they moved him through Colombian safe houses. He said this in a speech. They moved him through Colombia's safe houses. You can find the records. I think that's why they want Maduro so bad, that they're not going to just drone him. I think that's why they have a $50 million reward. I think all of this is going to come out. I think it's going to shock the conscience of America. But anyway, the UK Daily Mail going where no one else will. And folks, think about how the Biden regime weaponizes. There were two ways they did it. Remember how wild they went over kids in cages under Trump? Well, again, Trump was putting the kids in cages. As soon as we would catch them at the border, they would separate the kids from the adults because we had a DNA test them. They didn't want that. That hurt the cartel child sex trafficking business. That's why they went wild. Because then you get a DNA test. You're like, oh, that's not her daddy. That's a sex trafficker. She's an adult male. I can't release her with him. Well, now he can't make any money selling her. That's a problem. So they went, oh, kids in cages separated. Yeah, from their pimps. Yeah, they were. It was the last hope, the last chance they had of not being sold, killed, God knows what. And they used it, double purposed it as a hit on Trump. But folks, if you want to know why, and you read their headline, you look it up yourself, it'll shock you. In the UK Daily Mail, migrant children lost under Biden administration found dead or working as sex slaves. Remember what made this possible? Never forget it. This is the biggest crime of all. When the New York Times reported there were 89,000 kids missing, this was 2 years into the Biden administration. We had time to stop this. Didn't have to ever get to 233,000 missing. 89,000 missing. New York Times reported it. Whistleblowers everywhere testified before Congress. That was in February. What did the Biden administration do in May? They discontinued, in violation of federal law, all DNA testing. It went to help the cartels. Arrest the evidence. Why? Because the policy was family units aren't stopped. Well, if that very nice man we've seen three times this week trafficking attractive underage girls into this country, if he comes through a fourth time, we don't want a DNA test him because we'll know it's not his family and we'll have to stop him and put him in prison. We need him to move our voters. We need him in our sanctuary city. We need him for the network. Kids dead. Dead. Working his sex life. Oh, folks, we're going to learn a lot more about this. It's going to shock the conscience of America if they're allowed to hear about what the Democrats did. See, what's going on in Charlotte with just letting those criminals turn out? Oh, that's only the tip of the iceberg with these Democrats.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my gosh, CNBC, shocked. Yeah, they never see real economic news coming. It's always a shock to them. CNBC shocked the producer price inflation, a key indicator of inflation. Actually declined for the month. Quote, President Trump has defied all expert expectations on tariffs, which is never new. If it's a Republican in office, if Trump's in office, he's supposed to fail and he doesn't, they're shocked. Look, folks, you don't even need to watch financial media. I just summarized it for you. Trump sucks. He's going to lose. It's really bad. And oh, look, wow, defied all expectations again. This is the same story every month. Anyway, quote from the transcript, wholesale inflation expected to be up 0.3%. It was down 0.1%. Wow, first negative number since April. I'm surprised. Real progress here. Plus 2.6% year over year. We are expecting plus 3.3%. Those little blips seem to be moving back into the sunset. I wonder, are these people going to apologize to Donald Trump? Or are they just going to go right on pretending that they're financial experts who were wrong again or people they should continue having on the air? Seriously. Their business model is lie for the Democrats, be shocked when you're wrong, and then have everybody again on next week. I just don't know how long this can last. It's just, okay. Folks, but you know what the good news is? There is a silver lining in the Irina Zlaruska situation and in what we just saw today. Actually, yesterday afternoon it broke. Cracker Barrel putting in an announcement. Hey, you know, like if your local Cracker Barrel hasn't been renovated, don't worry, we're not going to touch it. Now, they're not saying they're going to go put the ones they already did renovate back. This came on the heels of them saying, okay, we're not going to get rid of our logo. We're not going to scrub the white guy off because white men aren't to be seen anymore. They finally figured out that was like circa 2021. We're in a new world now where we don't erase white men simply for being white. That was woke circa 2020-21. So they figured that out. And then they put the announcement out yesterday. Oh, hey, yeah, if your store hasn't been renovated, then it's not going to be. We give up. Do you know what progress that is? Do you know what a cultural win that is? We just notch win after win after win after win because we have free speech and we're sane and that's all it takes. And you know what one of the biggest coups was in recent weeks? It was not the fact that Sydney Sweeney did the ad that she did. And the left tried to cancel her too, like they tried to cancel the murder victim, Irina Zlaruska. Failed utterly. And then the hottest man on the planet, right now, I mean, pop culture-wise, Taylor Swift's fiance, Travis Kelce, does an ad for American Eagle for his new line of products. In other words, after the left did everything they had, pulled every trick out of their hat to cancel Sydney Sweeney and American Eagle. Not only did their stock soar, the opposite of the Cracker Barrel situation, Travis Kelce, I mean, folks, they should be destroyed. Gina Carano style. The left destroyed her. They decided that, you know, she was pointing out that the left's tactics were very much Nazi-like. They destroyed her. They didn't like that. They had the power to do it. They destroyed her reputation. They destroyed her acting career. She just won a big settlement, by the way, but she'll never go get her reputation back. They tried to do that to Sydney Sweeney. They failed. They tried to do it to American Eagle. Not only did they fail, they failed catastrophically. I mean, they dubbed American Eagle a Nazi brand. And Travis Kelce went, now I think I'll launch a clothing line with them. Thank you very much. And did his own ad. He's got great jeans too. And I mean, this is the guy who's with Taylor Swift, who endorsed Her Highness. This is what losing looks like. They just lost another culture war battle. These are small things, but they add up. And right now, the left does not know what to do. In 2020, with the help of the FBI, in 2021, with the help of the FBI, they could have canceled the Irina Zlaruska story. And we'd be talking about it on talk radio. And that's, if you listen to talk radio, that's the only place you might have heard it. That's it. And he'd probably be bonded out. Maybe we'd do another story after the murder, because they do that in charge. They do bond them out after murder. You think bonding him out after the 14 arrests was bad? No. When I was there and covering it, they bonded him out all the time. There's nothing. But they can't get this off the front page. They can't stop it. They can't make it go away. They don't know what to do. But it's a disaster. I mean, once again, I'm looking at Topic Pulse right now. Not only is that story in the top 10 twice, but it's all our media sources. It's not their media sources that are dominating. That's not it. Meanwhile, the left is going more visibly insane, and this is good for us. A tense standoff in upstate New York, this is in top 10 right now, between immigration activists, illegal immigrant roofers, and protesters, ended with officials leaving the scene with slashed tires after attempting to carry out a removal operation of suspected illegal immigrant future Democrat voters. One roofer was detained while others remained on the rooftop, leading to a confrontation with the over 100 protesters chanting and calling the agents Gestapo. This is who they are, folks. The incident saw federal agents abandon their attempts to detain other workers as the crowd forced Customs and Border Patrol vehicle to retreat on slashed tires. The standoff occurred in a sanctuary city where the Rochester City Council recently voted to codify the sanctuary policy. Good. You know what? Let Americans see this. Let Americans see this. Because, you know, it's going to take Trump a few years to fix the economy. I don't want to run on that right now, because that's the level of damage Biden and the Democrats did by looting the Treasury and causing the inflation that they did. And Trump even said this with the jobs numbers. Look, wait a year and then look at those jobs numbers. It's going to take me a while. And I get that. It is. And their hope was, well, this will be in our rear view mirror. Everyone will forget what we did with the border. Not if this stuff continues. I mean, this is the news every single day. This is just yesterday. This is just one guy they picked up. 49 arrests. This was in the New England raid, including convictions for burglary, vehicle theft, assault with a deadly weapon, criminal threats to terrorize, DUI, carrying a loaded firearm in public, carrying a concealed firearm in public, shoplifting, trespassing, property damage, petty theft, carrying a concealed dagger, and vandalism. 49 prior arrests. And what are they going to do? Take him for margaritas? Try to save him? Let him get violent. Let the public get a good look at who they are. And folks, it's going to get worse. Especially because they think they won. They've caused the ICE agents to retreat. They are hepped up. I mean, we're at a point in Portland, folks. They're going to have to send National Guard there, because they have to put snipers on the ICE building roof every night just to repel the lunatics, because the police won't respond. I mean, this is after they dragged, remember that guillotine out.
Protesters clashing with ICE officers and federal agents outside an ICE facility in Portland overnight. Agents had to use tear gas while they were reportedly attempting to disperse the crowd. This was after protesters rolled out a guillotine and burned an American flag, according to a report.
Yeah, go ahead. You think people are going to vote for that? They're not going to vote for that. They're not going to live in that. In fact, if we even had inflation, I think they still vote against that, because you can't live that way. It's basic quality of life. So let them. Let these lunatics attack ICE officers. God bless them. Well, in the annals of winning, this one is long overdue. We were this close. In fact, we were already living in a country where we were censored, where even a billionaire former president and his sons could be debanked, along with Barron and Melania. I don't know what Barron did to the Democrats. Breathe, I don't know. Simply kicked out of the banking system, along with Christian and right-wing groups and nonprofits, after the Biden administration terrorized them. A country where if you filed a Tea Party charter, you put your name on that thing, you were absolutely terrorized by Lois Lerner and the Barack Obama IRS. Remember how bad it was? Because it was bad. Listener Andy reminds me of this. He emails me regularly. He's an attorney down in Florida, listens to the show. cost him $100,000. He made the mistake of donating to the Tea Party. By the way, by the time they were done, they had punitively audited over a third of people who just wrote a check to the Tea Party. So what did that mean? They weren't just auditing you for the Tea Party check. They came in and put you through a full audit. I heard a woman speak one time about it. She was absolutely terrorized. She owned a business and her husband owned a separate business. So they were personally and jointly audited, but then they were also, both their businesses were audited. And they terrorized her. They would make her, hey, go find every comment, political comment you've ever written online, and we need a copy in triplicate. So go ahead and mail that to us. You know what the fee is, the cost is to mail that? Can I deliver it? No, you got to send it through the mail. Just screw with them. She said she sent them a U-Haul worth of data, and they still weren't happy. They were just looking for anything that they could find. And sometimes they just make her photocopy stuff just to harass her. This is what they do with the IRS all day. Folks, Democrats, we're going to put that on steroids. 80,000 new agents, more than doubling the size of the IRS. New taxes on folks, because that's essentially what it is. If, you know, they're now forcing you to turn in your PayPal, all of that stuff. Trump wiped all that out. We cut the IRS instead. But inside of it was this woman who worked for Lois Lerner, Holly Paz, who was part of the Reign of Terror. And folks, it is a documented Reign of Terror, okay? Because the federal government settled with the victims. Again, before they were done, they had audited 30%. They were still going. 30% of the people who had simply written a check to a Tea Party organization or tried to start one. Holly Paz, fired by Treasury Secretary. I can't believe she's still there. She was the deputy of Lois Lerner who did a lot of this. She's gone now. Folks, we've just got to rip these people out by the weeds and just pray Americans don't forget what it's like to live under Democrats. She's gone now. So, by the way, she's screaming and yelling, saying it's unfair. I mean, typical Democrat, right? Oh, I don't get to abuse people. I don't get to target people for their political beliefs. By the way, the IRS issued a full apology for what happened under the Biden era. The Obama era, even though Obama claims there were no scandals on his watch. Yeah, sure. One by one, bit by bit, piece by piece, we're getting the people who persecuted us out of government.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.